2 Kings chapter 2 and just three verses, 23, 24, and 25. This is lesson 3 on Elisha, the life and miracles of Elisha. And we'll in 2 Kings. Chapter 2, and the closing out of chapter 2, last three verses of chapter 2. This would be a short but a powerful lesson. It's frightening, it's scary, it's all of that, and yet the believer is safe and hid with Christ in God. So, but nonetheless, the Lord is, it's just one of those verses, one of those sections in scriptures that's kind of, it's not hard to deal with if you're honest with it. But the way religion deals with it today, they think it's a little bit out of character for God to do such things to children or adolescents, whatever you want, however you want to term it. But what we've looked at thus far is the Lord has called out Elisha, and he called him to serve Elijah. Then Elijah is transported up to heaven. He goes up, is carried by the chariots of fire. So Elisha replaces the old prophet, and he's performed a few miracles. We've seen the first two. The first one was the parting of the River Jordan in front of, or not in front of, but the prophets, some of the prophets saw it, and then they saw that the mantle has gone from Elijah to Elisha, and so he's taking up the charge. And then we saw in this last lesson last week, Elisha healing the deadly waters at Jericho. And so now he is heading up, verse 23, Elisha went up from thence, from Jericho, unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him. And said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. But we know whatever's going on, they're mocking him. And Elisha turned back and looked on them. He didn't do it out of anger. He didn't do it out of instant response. He wasn't upset, mad, you know, whatever. He just turned back and looked on them and cursed them. In the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 42 children of them. And then Elisha went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. Now some say that there was another school of prophets in Bethel. I don't know if that's true or not. I didn't research it. It really doesn't have any bearing on, but he was going from one, from Jericho to the next city, and he may have been doing that. But he comes upon the town of Bethel. Now, you remember what that name signifies, or what it used to signify. It used to be called the House of God, but it's none of that anymore. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. The time that's been going on here is one full of idolatry and worshiping idols and false gods. And you could go through the latter part of First Kings and see this was what's going on. So the whole land, the area is given over to idolatry. Matter of fact, we're going to pick up our story. I believe it is Jezebel. Now, you know what she was all about. She hated God. She hated God's prophets. She hated the gospel, therefore. But just to give you a sampling, in 1 Kings 21 and starting verse 25, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, he rent his clothes, put sackcloth on his flesh, fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. So the area, the town, the areas of Judah, not just the one or two towns, but the whole area, is given over to idolatry. But it used to be called, back in Genesis, it used to be called the house of God. And the Lord was honored there. And people honored him there. But this place is now a place of vast idolatry, false god worship, and every evil thing. And so, as such, the children would have not been, as the scripture says, trained them up in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. But if the parents, but it's not all the parents' fault. We're born in sin. We're born in corruption. It's our nature to be anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-gospel. But where there's no fear of God, anything goes. We see this in our country. It's getting worse and worse and worse. So as with all human nature, we tend to go anti-Christ. Or we are truly born this way, and when we see, note, and behold sin, it is our natural condition. We don't have to be taught to be evil, but woe unto those who teach wickedness and inflame others' vile natures. It's one thing just to let a person go, either a young adult, even an older man, the hoary-headed sinner. Scripture talks about that as a horrible place to be. But to not have any checks and balances, not to have any somebody saying, you know, you did wrong, but you can't say that anymore. Everybody's a winner. There's no losers. There's none of that. You know, it's just unrealistic. And there's psychiatrists and anything that happens, you got to run to these persons to make yourself feel good. The power of positive thinking. There's no checks. There's no balances. There's no God and his gospel. The gospel is still in the minority, is in very much the minority. Now, we know of quite a few folks that preach it, quite a few folks that believe it, and that's a wonderful thing. But this is just a sampling of what's going on in this country. Such is the case here. He's going up to this place, Bethel, which used to be called the house of God. And I guess it's just in the name, it's still called that. But it's not that by any stretch. So here you have these children. Now, I did some reading on this. And children in the Hebrew could be ages 7 to 29. So, and the word little does not necessarily mean, it means diminutive. It doesn't necessarily mean small children. Obviously, these children were outside the city. They were of some age. But it doesn't really matter. One, they were displaying their nature. They were, these children, these young adults, we call them teenagers, were displaying their natures. It says, they mocked him. Who? They mocked the prophet. They mocked the prophet. Secondly, they also had to be taught or brought up despising true godliness and thereby the gospel message and gospel messengers. Remember, Elisha means God is salvation. So they were rejecting, mocking, spiritually, we could take this, they were mocking God. They were mocking God is salvation. They were mocking God's people, or in this instance, God's messenger. And they were mocking God's gospel. So this mocking shows the hardness of the human heart by nature. They hated this man, young or old, it didn't make a difference. They had enmity, which the scripture says we all do, enmity towards the truth, towards God. That's what the New Testament says. And then they said, not only were they mocking him, but they specifically said, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head, go up. So what are they saying here? Well, everybody that I read, and I tend to agree with it before I even read them, is this is referring back to Elisha. He went up. He rid himself of earth. And what they were saying is, go up. This references to the way Elisha left the earth. They're saying, we don't need you here. Go up. Get out of here. We don't need you here. We don't want you here. Just go up, or basically just leave us alone. And so spiritually, we could take this as the gospel, the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. What did they say in the New Testament? We will not have this man to reign over us. Just go on. Just any of you apostles, we'll kill you if we get opportunity. We'll hunt you down. But this Christ, everything was fine in the Pharisaical and the Sadduceical system. They had their law, they had their free will, they had their works, they had their washings of their hands, cleansing everything outside, nothing inside. It sounds familiar. They said, we have no king, was the cry. But Caesar, away with it. Matter of fact, we'll take a murderer. He'll fit into society better than this rabble-rouser, and the apostles. After that, they caught, and they said, these are men, they're turning this world upside down. Leave us alone. Go up. Leave us alone. We don't want to hear this gospel. This town doesn't want to hear this gospel. The truth about how God can save sinners. God is salvation. No, it's God plus me. It's God plus my repentance. It's God plus my walking an aisle. It's God plus. It's never just God. Jonah said something different. Christ said something different. The apostles all said something different. All the prophets give witness to him. Salvation by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. So they are rejecting. And the trained cry from these children, by their parents perhaps, all who will not have Christ's truth or his gospel reign over them. And that word mock in verse 23 means literally to ridicule or to scorn. My point is, they knew they were of age. They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. And they enjoyed it. Pilate, what does it say in the scriptures? Pilate, he didn't like Herod. And Herod did like Pilate. But they came together. They became friends over the crucified Christ. And they enjoyed it. And they mocked him. And our Lord Jesus Christ, as he went from the trial to Calvary, he was mocked. He was spit upon. He was whipped. He was innocent. And when he got up and hung up on the cross, they was casting lots for his garments. No respect. We will not have this man to rule over us. Elisha, God is salvation. That's how much the gospel is hated. And it's hated from birth until a person dies unless God shows mercy on them. So they knew what they were doing. Herod, Pilate, the Pharisees in our Lord's day exhibited this exact same characteristic. These children, our young adults, were a true picture of the sign of those times in Judah, as well as ours here. When you go out, you can be fine if you just talk about the weather. You can be fine if you just talk about things of the world, of the earth. But you just keep bringing the conversation back to the gospel. And most people do not like it. But that's what we are here to do. They were given over to false gods, to false truths, and to idol worship. Or basically, do what you want in this community, this society. Do what you want without censor or rebuke or submission to the truth, which the truth exposes the lies, falsehoods, and pride. Christ came into the world. The world knew him not. Why? Because he came in the light. The light exposes sins. And men love darkness. We love darkness more than light. That's why we keep pointing people, keep talking about Christ. God is salvation. Well, verse 24, what happens next is remarkable. And a lot of contemporary preachers and contemporary scholars, so-called, they don't deal with this. They don't like it. No, surely he didn't. You know, God is love. Surely he didn't do it. God is a just God. He doesn't change. Verse 24, and the prophet turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and tear the 40 and two children of them. So here's what we have. What we have here is a picture or a truth of turn to Psalms 105. Psalms 105. Verses 13, 14, and 15. Psalms 105. Verse 13. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. The Lord God reproved kings for his elect's sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And this is what's going on. God is protecting his truth. He's protecting his gospel. He's protecting his gospel people. He's protecting his gospel ministers, those who understand and know the truth, know what is in man. Touch not mine anointed, not even the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you said he was crucified. Yes, he must need suffer. He must need bleed. He must be died to save sinners from themselves, to do my prophets no harm. And also turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, this is really isn't spoken about much, but this is where we are this evening. Luke chapter 19 and verse 27. But those, mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Kill them. Put them away. Just like they want the gospel, they don't want to hear the gospel, they want to put away from them. The gospel, it's the everlasting gospel, it's not going anywhere. So God is jealous over his son, over his gospel, and over his God, his people. He will take any mocking of these as mocking of himself, and will protect his people, and his word, and his truth, at much cost to those who are on the attacking. 42 of them, it says. I didn't know how many, and then it says right there, 42. 42 of these young adults, these children, these teenagers, were either mauled to death or mauled to disability. How could God do such a thing? That is not the right or even the close to the correct question. God will get honor and glory by the preaching and believing of his truth. Any who continue to reject these and him and his truth will be eternally tormented in hell. That is the God of justice. Now, we thank God that he's a God of mercy and a God of compassion. But he is still a holy and righteous God. This, my brethren, shows the justice and judgment of God against his enemies, whether we like to talk about it or not, whether we like to see it in the scriptures or not. In another place, I believe it's in Samuel, he says, I kill, I make alive. He does this. Nebuchadnezzar, he walked out and said, I've done all this with my hands in the Lord. He could have killed them, smashed them right there, but he humbled them, turned them into some kind of a creature that eating grass and dew on the grass. And by God's grace, he was gracious. Nebuchadnezzar came back to himself, he praised and blessed God. But there's a lot of, Pharaoh didn't. Pharaoh's army didn't. And the Lord judged them and drowned them in the Red Sea. So, whether we like to talk about it or not, God is right in his judgments. God is right in showing mercy to his people. We just happen to see the former in this lesson tonight. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. God will be honored and God will be glorified. And there's times that, you know, in the martyrs, that they were preaching the gospel and they got killed and nothing happened. That was God's time. Their time on earth was done. So he took them home and spared them from all the stuff that they could have seen, they could have went through. And that's God's mercy even there. But we must know beyond all shadow of a doubt that God is just and God's judgment is real and true. And he will slay those who do not trust in him and will not have him to reign over them. So I encourage us to go to the Lord of glory and plead for his mercy and do not mock. Do not mock. Do not ridicule. Do not scorn his gospel, his people, or him. Woe be unto us if we do. Nathan, would you close us?